All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the session. The session's name is called Running Linux in Microsoft Azure. I hope you're in the right session. And this is actually the first time Microsoft talks about running Linux on Azure. So I hope this is a pleasant surprise to everyone. I will talk a lot more about what's going on in this topic. Quickly introduce by myself. I'm part of the Microsoft's Open Source Technology Center. We have a growing team in that space, and part is based in Redmond, our headquarters, and another part is based in Shanghai. I'm actually based in Shanghai. All right, let's get started and show a lot of fun things. First of all, for those of you who have not made the keynote, I'll quickly capture what Azure is about. For those of you who have been, just kind of refresh, I'll be short. So first of all, you know, why Azure? Azure has three very distinctive attributes, and that's hyperscale, enterprise grade, and hybrid. I'll quickly talk about each one quickly. So speaking of hyperscale, you know, one of the key things running a public Azure, public cloud service, is you are able to offer the reach to your customers that are probably spread all around the world. You know, today the world is really flat. So in the hyperscale cases, we have been working very hard to increase our data center footprint. And we've been increasing our data center capacity 50% year over year. So as of today, actually, we just announced the two latest Azure regions this week in Australia. We have, if you look at the, for you, it's right corner of this map. All the dots is Azure data center region. And they are about, right now it's 19 Azure data center regions across all these geos. And the last of the 18s and 19s is actually in Australia, we just announced. The, another beauty with the hyperscale is, you know, we can give you the capacity you needed as your business requires this. So here gives an example of the first party thing we've been running. One is the we've been running the media service to support the Winter Olympics of the Sochi. Just take a look at the numbers. It's just a humongous number, amazing numbers. You have like 100 million views, and you have like the 2.1 million concurrent HD viewers as one of the highest to watch the Canadian and the American hockey games. And all this has to happen with the enormous data center capacity and the skill, the ability to, you know, provide the access to the viewers and customers where it's spread all over the world. And another example that to show, you know, the why do you need a hyperscale probably cloud service is the Xbox One game called Titanfall we launched early, like March of this year. When we launched it, it requires 100,000 VM cores. Just think about it, 100,000 VM cores. And you need this kind of the hyperscale data center to be quickly to spun off all these VMs to support the huge demand on this one. So, and just give you a comparison, you know, we are about multiple times the size of the Amazon, and well, two times the Amazon footprint, and five times what Google has. All right, this is one attribute hyperscale that Azure has. The next one is enterprise. You know, through all these years, enterprise focus has been really the gene and the focus for Microsoft. Now, coming to the cloud journey, we've been striving to provide the need for the enterprise, like the data security, reliability, skill, support, that's the enterprise data sovereignty that the enterprise customer has been demanding. And we'll continue to doing that with the highest, you know, support we can. And the last, but the most important thing is hybrid. That's what uniquely differentiates Microsoft from the rest of the cloud providers. We have a vast on-premise install base for the private cloud. And now with the Azure, we provide another advantage for you to seamlessly connect to your hybrid, your on-premise cloud, extend to the public cloud. So you can, you know, easily to use leverage of the resources out there in public cloud. Now, in order to do that, we a bunch of technologies in order to have to be in place to make this happen. And I'll just highlight of the connection bridges. You know, the first is you can do point-to-site connection through the SSL, that's everybody understands. Also, you can use VPN just from site to site directly. And the ones that we had been running just recently for a while is called Express Route, And what that is actually provide a dedicated link from your on-premise data center to Azure Cloud Data Center. So it gives you not only speed, also security. And this will work with a bunch of partners that's listed out here. So it's been really receiving very good feedbacks about this particular feature. So this is pretty much, you know, at the high level, 5,000 level, what Azure gives you on the hyperscale, hybrid, and enterprise grade. All right, now let's come back to talk about today's topic, Linux on Azure. Now, before we talk about exactly how do you run, what are things created on, I want to talk about what are the distributions you could actually get from Azure. So there's actually two categories. One category, you can call them like, we call them like Azure endorsed. What exactly means is this is a bunch of the OS images, mainly vanilla, like Linux OS images, that's distributed by the Linux distributed vendors. And they are tested, curated by both the distributing vendors as well as by Microsoft. And they are, normally they can, you can find them on our website. I'll show you later about it. Where do you find them? And also, they have two types of images on this one. One is the standard. Basically, this is in terms of support. In standard, like you can get the image, and if you have issues, if it's related to Azure, you come to Microsoft. If it's related to the Linux distribution, you go to the Linux distribution vendors. This is called standard images. And another type is called premium. And what premium really means is, hey, you come to Microsoft for one-stop shop support. We provide 7x24 support, phone, email, call support. And so we really act on behalf of the Linux distribution vendors and partners. And right now, we have one distribution in that category, the SUSE Enterprise Service 11 SPS. And the other ones, as you see on the top, in the Oracle Linux, the OpenSUSE, or the CentOS is from OpenLogic, as well as the Canonical from Ubuntu, is all in the first category on this one. Now, just a little bit more word about what exactly means by Azure endorsed. I mentioned it's tested by the Linux distributing vendor as well as by Microsoft. Now, the key thing is what it means is it actually runs on the Azure version of the hypervisor. And I'll have a slide talk about a little what that means. Basically, it has a driver that actually really runs on the hypervisor that's really underneath the Azure infrastructure. Okay? So move on. This is one category. Like I said, there's another category is contributed by community, actually. This is a long list of the images that's contributed by different partners and community members. And those are managed by our separate legal entity called Microsoft MS OpenTech. This is just a different Microsoft legal entity. And there's a whole website called the VM Depot, has all those images there. And I'll show you in a minute the real website. And in the old days, you have to go to this website, download image, manually download them, and then configure them and upload to your storage account. And just recently, we made it extremely simple. You can go to this website and just create a VM on this one. And the image in this category is smoke tested in a way. So you really, if you have issues, you really have to talk to the contributor partners and community members to get fixed. So this is another category. So just to quickly summarize, there's a whole category that's curated, tested. We call it Azure endorsed images. And there's another whole category is contributed by community members. And we welcome anybody contribute to it. And the VM Depot is a website. You can directly get it. And now the good news is, just starting this week, actually, we announced it last week at San Francisco. And this Monday, Tuesday, at the keynote, we announced the new portal. Now we are combining this all together. We did quite a bit of the, you know, user study testing, and I think we heard from you. You want one place to find all images. So now we have what's called Azure Marketplace from our Azure portal, where you can find both first-party images as well as third-party images. And the third-party images include the curated, endorsed, as well as the images from VM Depot. That's our contributor community. So, and many of those images is more than just a plain vanilla OS image. it actually has application stacks, like the LAMP stacks, the MySQL, the WordPress, that kind of thing. So now let me, you know, just like a singing is believing. Let me show you the real website here for a minute. Okay, so this is the new Azure portal. I'm sorry, I'm kind of short, like hiding behind the scene, the new portal. And if you go to this portal, you can see there's a marketplace. You click on the marketplace. And it has put all those images together in this one-stop shop. It categorized, like recommended, where those are like the hot top new images. For example, you can see, you know, the Core OS, which is the latest Linux distribution, which is certified and put up on image. You can see like Ubuntu, you know, and also other other images here. You can go in down. Now you can see the, you know, category, database category. Further, you know, the database category here has like SQL, my, you know, Oracle's and IBM's DB2. And you can go further down. Then you get to see application infrastructures. You know, here you can see a bunch of, you know, our own BizTalk is from Microsoft and also from other, like from, you know, like Zulu from MS OpenTech. It tells you where, even where they are coming from. So going down, you know, you have security, you saw Windows-based, it's all Windows-based. Then here, that's where you find all the Linux-based ones. So you can see all these images here. Those are the ones that I said, you know, it's being endorsed, curated. And you can go further, you can find all the VM Depot image on this one. And this is the same image you would find at this VM Depot website. So you have, basically, you have two ways. You can either go to VM Depot to get those community contributed images, as well as an Azure Marketplace. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, for all the images, before you have to manually download them using PowerShell script, you know, to do a bunch of work. Now you can just find the image you like and click Create VM. It just takes you through visit and set up in your Azure account. Okay? So just to, let's just give an idea. This is like just happened like in the last 1 or 2 weeks, all those kind of new features. Right, back to... back to my slides. So this is like a just quick summary again. So there's two category images, you know, and where you can find them. You brief in for both category images, you can find them pretty much all just at one place, the Azure portal marketplace. Now, some of you might say, hey, what happens? I have my own favorite image that I love to use, and I don't see it on your website. What I would do with that? Don't worry, you're not stuck. We have other ways to help you bring up, and that's called bring your own Linux or FreeBSD. So I'm going to spend a major chunk of time to explain that. Now, some of the technologies that I mentioned in this section is not only applicable to this one, also is used for the endorsed images. So I will highlight that, like the Linux agent and the VM extensions. Okay, so let's talk about how do you bring your my own images. So really, there's three simple steps at a high level. First, you got to virtualize your OS. Pretty straightforward. Then you need to virtualize your OS on Hyper-V, so the Hyper-V running on Azure can run your OS. Then you have to install this called Linux Azure Agent. And I'll explain what that is. And third, you have to configure your VM for Azure. That's pretty much three steps you can bring your own image. All right, let's go into each one of them. Virtualize your own OS image. So let me explain that a little bit. If any of you were at Jason's session yesterday, the Linux Integration Service and the BSD Integration Service, he explained a lot of great details. I'm just going to using one slide to quickly explain that. This pretty much explains how we support Linux, how are we able to support Linux on Hyper-V as well as on Azure. So, you know, basically Hyper-V actually hides the hardware from the OS. It presents the underneath hardware devices as the synthetic devices. So the OS looks all the same. Now with that, just like OS talks to a real hardware drive, it needs a real device drive to talk to it. So we also need a synthetic device driver for the guest OS to be able to talk to these devices. So that's so that the guest OS could talk to them. And then this Hyper-V synthetic device drive is called a Linux Integration Service. We call it LIS. If you hear LIS or BIS, well, that's what that it really is. It's really the driver for Hyper-V. So the guest OS could talk to the underneath hardware. So, and because it's device driver, we follow the same model for the device driver for OS. And so that's really the behind the thing, how it works. And there's a whole team that's both cross the, the Shanghai team and Redmond team works provided the Hyper-V driver. And normally what we do is we integrate the latest Hyper-V functions into the driver and we upstream to the kernel. Well, once you upstream to the kernel, then the Linux distribution vendors will be able to get this new features from the driver, and you will be able to take advantage of the new features of Hyper-V. And that's how it works. So we upstream them, and you get them. And that depends on when a particular Linux distribution vendor gets a particular kernel, the support may vary a little bit. So then my next is show you this matrix about, how do we, which driver is available in what major Linux distributions. So look at this table. We kind of bucket in the different main Linux distributions. You could look at it. Basically, if it's building, you can just get it. You can just download it from Microsoft. And if it's building, you get it from the distribution vendors. And when they certify it, like Red Hat certifies, you can find them from website. It's listed there. And so here gives you the idea. All the major distribution has all this. And so I won't go into each one of the details. You can take a look at it. Just so you know, this table is available at our website. And there's a link at the end. You can show all this. We have a very detailed explanation which drivers at support at which major Linux distribution. Okay. So this is how the underneath Hyper-V works, just a bit background on this one. Now, and those are the new ones are just newly added. As you can see, some of the old kernel versions, they didn't get pick up the list driver. So for those ones, then you have to really download from Microsoft. And for one of the new ones, it's built-in, then you can just get it. We just added those new ones, as you can see. Okay, now we explain a little bit about how exactly we're able to make Linux running on Hyper-V and then on Azure, Hyper-V mainly so far. Now let's go further about how can we really make it running on Azure. So I want to introduce an important concept called Azure Linux Agent. Now this Azure Linux Agent pretty much actually is a Python code. It really helps to manage the interactions between Azure, which is Fabric Controller, which is our major piece that manages all different resource conversations with Azure resources, and with your images. So this is the Linux called Linux Agent. And what it does a couple of major functions. So I'll go through each one of them. So first of all, it provisions image. So it like your host name, your account name, and also it configs your SSH key authentication types. It helps you deploy your SSH public key and key pairs to the platform, and it also reports out of the SSH key fingerprint print to the platform. And it also helps you format disk, mount the disk, and configure swap space as well. So basically all the provision information it does. And it also manages routings for the DHCP servers as well as the network interface names. And in addition, it helps to configure a bunch of the kernel configurations. Here's a list of a couple of them, and just explain two. For NUMA, some of the kernel actually has bug with NUMA, so we turn the NUMA off, use this agent. And for SCSI, here's the thing. The OS image and the data image is really treated as a SCSI disk mounted to the VM. And because of the network latency issue, sometimes can time out. So we have to make sure there's a timeout setup on this one. And then it also redirects it, so it configures the first serial port, TTYS0, as a boot console. So when you boot up, all the kernel output information can go to this console, so you can capture all the log file for debugging. I think for many Linux users, this is a pretty familiar concept of it. So this is the major things that a Linux agent does. And then how it works is, so during the boot time, there's an Azure software called RDFE. It actually creates an ISO image. And this ISO image contains an OVF file. And it attaches the OVF file as a CD-ROM. And then this Linux agent attaches the CD-ROM, mounts the CD-ROM to the virtual machine. And it starts to parse this OVM file. This OVM file pretty much contains all the provision information you needed. Your account name, your username, all that stuff. And then once it provisions it. Once it finishes the provision, boots up. Then it calls the Azure REST API, calls to an XML file called GoState. And this basically is a configuration file for this agent to understand what exactly I need to configure to my VM. So in this GoState file, it has information about where's my deployment ID, what is the port for my software load balancer, those kind of information. So it uses REST API, calls this file, and then applies those to your VM. And that's how it communicates this agent. So summarize, it is really a piece of software that manages the communication between Azure and your Linux VM. It's called Linux Agent. Okay? And move on. So here's how you get the Linux agent. I'm sure after you understand the agent, it's like, how do I get it? How do I use it? So in many cases, earlier I mentioned this endorsed Linux image from Microsoft, actually the Linux distributor published directly to Azure. Those are pretty much all included. You don't have to do anything extra. It comes with a package. Now, for the ones that you want to bring your own, then you have to download them. And now, download them is pretty easy as well. It's all available at GitHub. It's one code. There's no difference between different Linux distributions. You can get it from GitHub on this one. And you can see all the major ones is already included in the package, and where you can find it. And in case that you will bring your own, you can just go to GitHub and get it. And the next slide helps to explain how exactly do you install this agent if I don't have it in the package or if I'm not using one of the curated packages. Okay? And this is also available at our website. So here's how do you install this one. So like I mentioned, it's either available as part of the package or you can get it from GitHub. So we highly recommend you use RPM or DB to install this package. Now, once you use this command, RPM, it's pretty much already set. It will put the agent in the right path. It gives you the right mode to execute it. However, if you want to manually install them, I know many of Linux groups want to do everything by themselves, which is totally fine. Then you can use this command to install it. And you can turn on the verbose mode so you can see all the logs. So this is pretty straightforward. You can install this Windows Azure Linux agent. Okay? So this is how how agent works, how you get it, and how you install them. Now, a little bit more explain what this agent actually has some of the command. It has some install, uninstall, that's pretty straightforward, explainable. Let me explain a little bit about deprovision. So deprovision really is a command. It helps you to prepare your VM so it's ready to be provisioned. And it really deletes a bunch of things. Basically, first of all, it deletes the root password out, okay? It deletes, it sets the local name to the default, like a local host, local domain. And it deletes your account as well. And also, it takes your name server out of your configuration file, like etsyresolve.conf, it takes that out. And also, it deletes all the SSH keys you have. And also deletes all the cached DHCP client leases file. So basically, it deletes all the provision-related files, make the VM ready for you to provision. The only thing it does not touch is the user data. If this VM has been used before, you have user data on that one, it doesn't touch that. Now, the good news is, if you do want to completely make it ready for a new use, there's called a deprovision plus user. Now, you can completely take all the information out and then make it reusable. So there's all these options. I think the serial console, I can mention that. You can just redirect output so the kernel can log in. And then the daemon, okay. I think daemon is a very common concept at Linux. You run it as it constantly watches the interactions between the Azure and the image. And we normally put this in the init file for the agent. So when it runs up, it's constantly running as a daemon in the background. So this is some of the helpful command options for the agent. All right, now we talked about the Azure agent, just so not confuse everybody again. Even I'm talking about bring your own VM Linux to the Azure, this agent actually works in both in your own case, also as works in the curated image. It's just in that formal case, it's not visible to you. And here you have to explicitly run it by yourself. Now let's talk about another important feature just came up recently called a VM extension. So starting with agent 2.05, actually today the latest version we're running the Linux agent is 2.08. Starting with 2.05, we already had the framework to be able to support the VM extension. Now, VM extension is a concept, actually, should not be unfamiliar if you know Windows VM extension. We have had Windows VM extension for a while on Azure. We're just really, you know, catching up mode, trying to make we're trying to make run Linux as first party, you know, as good as Windows. So we're adding this Linux VM extension. So this extension, what it really does is extends your VM functionality in a very simple, easy way. And otherwise, it becomes very hard. It's still possible, but you have to do like command shell, you know, you have to do PowerShells. It's just very cumbersome. So we just started adding those features lately. And it allows you to, you know, apply, for example, once your VM booted, you have like lots of VM set up. I want to add an additional package to this VM after I have it set up. You can use this command easily to apply this action to all your VMs through Portal, actually. So I'm going to show a demo to you on this one. And this is the concept about the VM extension. And some of the new images like the Ubuntu SUSE, they already have those included already because they use the latest Windows Azure the Linux agent, so it's already there. And this diagram just clearly shows you how you can manage how does the VM extension works, right? On your right hand side, it has a bunch of the VM extensions, and one important thing I meant to mention is the VM extension also has the ability to let community contribute to it. For example, you know, if you wanted to add more features to one of the extensions we have, or you think you have one extension you find it's very useful, you want to contribute, this is all possible, and this is all open source too. So theoretically, you can have a list of gallery of the VM extensions that and you can apply to your VM on the right hand side, okay. And that's all managed by the Linux agent that I just talked about earlier. That's why we have to introduce the Linux agent concept first and then the VM extension. Okay, now let's talk about the extension we have today. So just in like last 1 month, we have added the three extensions from ourselves. There are third parties too, I'll mention that later. The first is custom script. What that does is actually it can run any script to your VM once it's booted, provisioned. Any script means any script that the Linux image supports. And it allows you to inject stuff to your VM, you know, and I'll later show you an example. And then the next script is VM access. The VM access is really like, I used to be Unix admin. It's like when you are dead in the water, oh gosh, I messed up my password. I don't know how to access to it. What do I do? And VM access gets you a way to access your VM and rescue you out of that dead in the water situation. So, and also helps you, you know, to reset a bunch of SSH key related stuff. And the OS patching, which our team just released last week, actually, allows you to, you know, really enable the schedule. You can do scheduled patching of your VMs, and also, you know, create patch schedules for multiple VMs. So this is all, and also it's available on the portal. So those are the three new VM extensions we published from first party from Microsoft, and there's other like the Chef that's published by third party. So instead of saying so many words about how the extension works, let me just do a demo on this one. So my first demo is running a custom script. And what it does, it helps you to install an Apache server to your VMs, okay? And let me just kind of get my machine ready here. Okay, and you look at the script, okay? It's pretty straightforward, simple script. It first sets a bunch of parameters where my shell script and where my script is, you know, that I want to run to these VMs. And so it says what kind of extension it is, and then it applies this extension to my VM with this particular shell script. Okay, so it's a very simple, straightforward PowerShell script. Now I'll switch over to our demo, my machine. So here is a website. Right now, if you look at it, hey, there's nothing there. I'm just going to refresh it. There's no Apache server running at all. So I am going to install an Apache server to my VM. So I come to this Ibiza portal just I showed you. So I am going to browse my VM. So I go to my virtual machine gallery, say, hey, where's my VM that I want to really install this Apache is? So I have pre-created a TechScript VM on this one. So I'm going to the VM. So this new Ibiza portal shows you all the attributes and the VM has. You can see, you know, a lot of good stuff, your CPU usage, your disk, your whatever, you know. And then you're going down, and then I come to you. There's a little bar says VM extension. I have nothing installed right now. So I'm going to install this extension that runs my called custom script. So what I do, I'll click on this extension. So the extension comes up, so I'm saying, okay, I'm going to add extension. So it says, okay, I'm going to add my custom script for extension here. Here, I'm going to create one. And it allows me to go to browser, say, hey, which script do you want to run? Okay, so I have an install Apache server from my local machine that I said, hey, I want to run this one. So I'm going to open up. I said, here's a script I want to run. I'm going to create. Okay, so as you can see, this is a new portal. Probably many of you probably haven't had a chance to look at it. There's a little notification here that runs a little dot. It means it's working. So we'll let it run for a while. And what it does is just runs the script, right? Applies to the VM, and then it will apply and try to do to all the VMs. So just imagine, if you have multiple VMs, you can do multiple VMs as well. And also this step, just remember, it also can, you can run this from shell script. That shell script, you can also run from a command line on this one. So it's still running. Okay, and so this is the beauty about the extension. You can all do this from the portal, and before, you know, you have to do from the PowerShell script. And we're hoping as we have more and more extension come up. So just briefly talk about the extension roadmap. We have more coming in, you know, like including snapshot, including diagnostics, including telemetry. Okay, it's already done. So now you look at the notification. This is also a cool feature. It tells you, hey, successfully added on this one. So now it's already added. So what I would do next is say, hey, is my Apache server running now? So let me, I can refresh. Sometimes it takes a little while. It takes a little while. Let me just kind of, we've tried this, it's because all the network things going on. Let me just continue with my extension roadmap. So we will have more support for like a designed DSE, designed state configuration, and that's coming up. And also on the Windows Azure Linux agent roadmap. So today's version is 2.08, and we have 2.09 come out next month, and that will support Fedora. We were going to support Core OS in the next version, but we'll put that in. So Core OS is already supported. And the next 2.09 is a minor version. We're following the Linux community pattern, minor version. And then with 2.10, we will have more support. And for 2.1 really, the major support will focus on cloud consistency. So there'll be a lot of, you know, on-premise, off-premise as kind of the feature added for the next version, major version of the agent. Okay? So that's on the roadmap of it. Let me see. Voila. So here's the Apache server already installed. It's working. So it's just like that simple. You can just add, you know, extend your VM functionality through this VM extension, just like that. Okay? All right. So now I'm going to do another, another demo, which is the VM access, which is my favorite one because many times when I'm as a Unix admin, I'm kind of, you know, I mean, I forget my username and the user case got run, you know, it's case sensitive. I forget my password. So what do I do? So I think now let me run this VM access. This is another extension script. It allows you to reset your password, SSH keys. So here's a simple script to reset my password, okay? So let me get my machine here ready. While you're looking at the script. So this, as you can see, it's very similar pattern. It declares a bunch of parameters, and then it sets the VM extension, and it runs the the actual command. So here I will. Let me go to my machine, show you. Okay. So here's a little putty. Okay, I'm trying to log on to my VM. So let me turn on my key so you know what I'm typing here. So the good thing, at least I know. Yes. Okay, this is my username. And I think my my password is what is it? User 123. I thought my username is user 123. Huh? It denied. Try it again. Ah, I forgot my password. So instead of banging my head, keep on trying. I'm just give up. I'm going to use running this VM access. I know I have this tool. This is a superpower too. So I'm coming to running this VM access tool. So I would come to this SharePoint console, which after logging, unfortunately. So I come to my PowerShell. Uh-oh. Let me see. My password just expired yesterday, so I had to reset my password. Okay, so I'm coming into this PowerShell command. So my early example shows to do all the extensions through portal, and this shows you do a through PowerShell. So I have a reset password, which is exactly the script I showed earlier. So I'm running the script. My script said user. I'm sorry. I can, you know, I was want to is now empty. Okay, let's redo this. Let's redo this command again. Let's just start another Control Z out of it. Okay, let me just start another PowerShell command. Okay. Logging again. By the way, all this, all the Ibiza Share Portal is doing the preview. So you're getting a sneak review of this. Okay, so what I will do is I am going to run this script, so I can change this to be, you can see the command is here. I'm going to change my password, just so. Okay, save it. Then let me go to this console and reset my password. See, you can see it says deploying the extension to this particular VM, which is a VM called TechAd VM Access. I bet a lot of people is doing the demos, so it's kind of slow. So you got the idea, you know, you can use this through command line. And also another important thing, this is in PowerShell, right? If you said, hey, I want to manage all this from Linux environment, I'm not familiar with PowerShell, I don't want to learn all this, you have an option, which is using X platform command line, which will also Microsoft provide. Okay, so it's already done. So now let's go back to the PuTTY. Let me log on again. Anybody remember what did I say was the username? User at 123, right? Voila, it works. So that's just a very simple script that shows you how exactly extension works. Of course, it's just a little tip of the iceberg. Hopefully you get the meaning and you can add more, you can contribute as well. We'd love you guys contribute more extensions. Okay? So switch back to my PowerPoint again. So that is the extension concept. Now, let's move further. I already talked about the roadmap. You know, those are the release and those are the coming. I mentioned the snapshot, the monitoring, telemetry, the DSC, and also this VM encryption coming up. And so just if you're interested, you know, keep an eye on our portal. We will announce that over there. And also mentioned the extension is an agreed opportunity for partner to offer their service and functions through this extension. So I mentioned there's a chef. Actually, if you notice, when I do my demo earlier, there in the extension, there's a chef over there and Puppet. And the Docker also is available. Actually, you know, I'm not going to spend too much talk about this. You know, the chef is just it's clickable already. You can just very easy. You just click on chef, then you get it. And also, currently, Ubuntu and CentOS already has it. Now, for Docker, we actually now have ability with the command line script as well as extension. You can set up a multiple Docker host at the same time. Then you can use your Docker client. You can configure, set up a Docker-enabled VM from the client, from that client to talk to all the manage the Docker hosters. And there's a whole day session lab in the back of the expo, helps you to walk through all those things. So if you're interested, I encourage you to go there, and that's whole day tomorrow. Okay. And here's just a picture shows you how do you know to get the Docker. All right, so I won't spend too much time on this one. Somebody else has talked about it. Now, I think we already went through two steps, you know, bring your own VM, right? First step, virtualize your, just refresh everybody's mind. We talked about it, you need to virtualize your OS. The second step, you need to install the Windows Azure Linux agent. That agent, you know, if you are using curated, endorsed one, you don't have to, but if you bring your own, you do. Now, as part of that agent, there's a VM extension that you can apply to your VM. Just to highlight again, the VM extension function is not only just for the images you bring to your own. It also works for the images that you pick and choose from our Azure portal. That works as well. Now the last steps is you have to configure your VM for the Azure. Now, there's a couple of steps you have to do that. First, you have to make your VM, you know, uploadable for Azure. Then, you need to create a storage account. then you connect, create a connection, then you need to do the upload. So I'll walk through each one of the steps. So here's a step about how to prepare your VM to upload. And there's many ways. There's a documentation about different distributed vendors, how to do that. Here's a like, high-level summary. So first of all, you know, when you create your VHDs, the Hyper-V on Azure only supports VHD format. So if you create a VHDX, you need to have it convert to be VHD. So just remember that. Okay, so it needs to be VHD format. Then when you configure your disk, you want to use a standard partition instead of using a logical volume manager. The reason behind that is the LVM name could be conflicting with a cloned VM. And that becomes a problem, especially when you do troubleshooting, you want to attach an OS disk to another VM to troubleshooting. So we recommend you use a standard disk partition instead of using LVM. And also, if you remember earlier, I said the Linux agent actually helps you to configure swap space. So here, we recommend you do not configure your swap space here on the OS disks. And because many times the OS disk is just temporary, and it gets wiped away. So you don't want to create swap space here. And for the SSH server, it's normally by default, you just leave it on. And like I said before, the last thing before you ready upload your VM, you want to deprovision your VM. I think I already explained what deprovision does. It just basically clean up all the information so your VM is ready for you to use. Now, after that, then you need to create an Azure account. And if you go to the Azure portal, this is very straightforward. Step by step, you go through that to create an Azure account. Now, one thing I want to highlight is when you create an Azure account, Azure Storage account, there's like options. There's like different tier options, you know, and of course they all come with different levels of the of redundancy as well as the different levels of pricing. Now, we really recommend you pick at least pick the geo redundancy because that gives you, in case you lose your something, you know, anything. God forbid, we don't want anything happens. But if we have something happens, you have some kind of assurance, you know. We recommend you choose the geo distributed replication on that one. I mean, it's really your decision. You have to weigh, you know, hey, you know, do I willing to pay this much more money to do get this? You know, how important reliability or you know redundancy is for me, right? So this is just want to bring that up. Once you create an Azure storage account, then you need to prepare your Azure. You need to prepare a connection with Azure. First of all, you need to connect Azure to your all this. By the way, all this command you do from your local machine, you connect to your Azure account. Now, many times users have multiple subscriptions under one Azure account. So after you connect to your Azure account, you have to pick which subscription do I want to load this image to. So the second command is really say, hey, I want my image go to this particular subscription under my account. So this simply two command does that. And once you're done with that, you can really do your last step, which is upload your PowerShell image, load your image using the PowerShell command. You look at this command, it's actually pretty straightforward. You add this VHD to a destination, which is your blob storage URL, and that's the account that you storage account you created. Then you add this, image folder that which will be a container within your blob storage where you want to deposit your image to. So those are the two parameters. And then, naturally, you want to tell them which image, VHD image you want to upload to, and then where that image pass file is. So those are the four parameters, very straightforward. And then you can use this PowerShell command, and then voila, you got your image uploaded to the Azure VM. Okay, so that's pretty much stay on that a little bit. So that's pretty much how you create your own image, bring your own VMs to the Azure Linux, to the Azure, you know, whether it's a Linux image or you know whatever image you own a FreeBSD image on that one. And quickly to summarize all the previous ones. You know, there's two categories of images curated where you can all just go to our portal. Our latest wonderful Azure portal has a marketplace. You can just pick and choose. It actually differentiates what are the ones that are supported, what are the ones are community supplied. And then that's one category. The other category is, hey, I want to bring my own image over. You can do that through three steps. You know, first, you need to virtualize your OS image. Then you install this Windows Azure Linux agent. And on the third, you know, you can really configure your VMs through all these things. And along this path, remember, there's a powerful feature called VM extension that really can provide you many ways to apply things you want installed to your VM packages after they boot it up or during any time you use. And we have a couple of them that is already available today, and we have more coming in the roadmap. And then once you have all that, and the last one, you need just kind of this, you know, get your local image ready, you know, and make it to be in the VHD, loadable, you know, set up your storage account, and set up a secure connection with your Azure Store account, and then upload it. So just quick summary on that one. Okay, so now let me move on to a middleware part. So we talked a lot about image part. There's a lot of middleware, and actually, as you can see, even from the Azure portal, you can get more than just a vanilla OS image. You know, you can get like a couple of templates together, like LampStacks and MySQL, WordPress, all this. Now, what this is we like to, now we're really striving to provide a best experience for people bring their Linux image over. So we're working on a lot of deployment guidance, because sometimes it can be tricky, you know, how do you really deploy it, either in cluster environment or high availability environment, or you want best performance. And we are really working hard on this. You know, those are just a list of documents that already have, you know, the MySQL performance tunings, you know, and the MySQL cluster high availability, I mentioned about that. And also the Hadoop MongoDB Cassandra deployment. How do you deploy? You know, hey, if I want to deploy Cassandra, how do I do this right? So I don't have to try many times to get it right, you know, try different things. So we have all the deployment. It's been produced or it's already available. And there's more coming up, as you can see, in the Tomcat, you know, cluster and the JBoss, and more is coming. And our goal is really providing you all the documents necessary for you so you can easily use Azure for whatever flavors, you know, Linux or, you know, or stacks that you want to use on Azure. So stay tuned on that one, and go check out what's available out there. All right, so coming down to my summary part. I think hopefully by now you know Azure actually is very open. You know, it's probably contrary to a lot of people perceived, you know, we're only running Windows. Actually, quite not. Actually, in many cases, you know, Azure users, especially in the IIS, we have about at least more than 20% of our IIS users running Linux stacks. It's like surprising, right? And in some of the country geo, like in China, some enterprises, more than 50% running on Azure today is using Linux stack, complete Linux stacks, no Windows whatsoever. So that's really a strong testament about how well now today's Azure supports Linux. And that's not even our end goal. We're far from where we want to be. So we're really striving very hard to make Linux become much more managed services. You get all the bells and whistles you would get from running Windows. Okay? And you know, support, like I said, support for Linux is getting stronger every day. You know, we're hiring. We're hiring Linux experts. So anybody interested, we're both hiring Redmond, we're both hiring Shanghai too. You know, come talk to us. We love those deep people have deep Linux expertise. And you know, if you like I said, you can get your own way. If you find things in that we have is not really meeting your requirements, you can bring your own, and you can also give us your feedback if you feel like something really you needed that's not there. Okay, and last, I love to show this one picture. Can you imagine about this a year ago? This is our CEO, Satya, just said last week. And Microsoft loves Linux, right? It was just such a bold statement. It's just such a mindset change. You know, it's just so exciting, you know, especially for someone like us. I'm coming from Linux background. I used to be a Linux Red Hat certified engineer. So yes, Microsoft loves Linux, okay? All right, and that's pretty much, you know, we have an Ask the Expert session today at 6:30, Hall 5. Quite a few of us will be there. So we'll be happy to chat with you offline about any question you might have. And so come to join us. And the session I mentioned has already happened yesterday. If you missed it, you want to read it, it's all online. And then I mentioned the Docker session that's whole day tomorrow. And then there's Hyper Forum. Yes, you can go to this link. There's actually a forum. You can get a lot of information from that. And I think the best thing is go to the TechNet and go to the Azure.portal and there's a whole bunch of the Linux-related documentation in that. And I mentioned the extension. Here's the GitHub where you can get your extensions. Okay. And then for more information, oh, this is just a standard, you know, Azure Pack, all this Windows Azure, you know, you can, you know, the Windows Azure is where the main portal is and where you can get a lot of the goodies, the information on that one. All right, those are just standard stuff. So I think, you know, I think the most important thing is I need you guys is evaluation somewhere here. Yeah, field your evaluation. What is that barcoding here? Never mind. I just need your evaluation, that's all. That's all for my session. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.